Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Good morning, family. I'll be reading, James 3, 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We will stumble in many ways. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes a great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Mm-hmm. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Good to be with you. You all feeling okay?
Yes.
All right. Y'all must not be happy the Ravens not playing today. I think that's what it is. It's not just the rain, you know? So I'm not excited about this passage of Scripture. And neither should you be to receive a teaching from a preacher on this passage of Scripture. Because it's one of those passages that is just like, all right, so what am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do? And so I'll bring you into my world to see if we can kind of ease into this week's passage, James chapter 3, in our Word and Deed series. One of the things that I experience a lot as someone who is taller than most people, I guess, is I get a lot of people that assume it must be great to be so tall. Okay, so you get these people, man, it must be so nice to be tall. It must be so nice to be tall. Man, look at you. You can just grab anything you want. Well, the issue with being tall like this is I get assigned jobs that everybody else just doesn't have to do. I don't work at Walmart, but the lady down the on the aisle wants me to help her with her thing that's up high. Ma'am, I don't work here. Call somebody who works here. And so part of my life has always been tapped to get these extracurricular activities because of my height. But there's suffering and pain that comes with this type of height. You ever been on an airplane before? I know it's uncomfortable for all of us, but it is especially uncomfortable for those of us who have been given the gift of such height. And one of those things that I just look forward to, I try, I pray, I plead, I fast. If I have a flight to take, please, Lord, can I get an exit row? And every once in a while, every once in a while, I'll get that exit row with the one that doesn't have the seat in front of it. And you just get to extend your legs all the way out. Now, some of y'all get to do that no matter what seat you're in. God bless you. That's not my issue. And so my knees are in my chest if I'm in the wrong seat. I'm not getting enough amens because I see some tall brothers in here and I'm not getting enough amens right now. All that to say, if you get that exit row, there's duties that come along with it. They stop me, depending on the airline, they'll stop you when you scan your ticket. You do understand you're going to the exit row. Well, are you willing and able to help us in case of emergency? Of course, of course. The issue with the emergency is there ain't gonna be no emergency, so I don't really need to be ready to prepare. Then the flight attendant is going to come along. She's gonna say, hey, everybody in this section, you're in the exit row. Please read the pamphlet because you are in the exit row. In case of emergency, you will have to what? Help us. We will not come. You will have to be the one directing people off the flight. Well, listen, ain't gonna be no emergency. Well, a few weeks ago, a doggone wall came out of an airplane while it was flying, made me reconsider this whole thing about the emergency rule. I don't know. If the door goes flying off and we're flying, I might not wanna be in that seat. Now, for many of us, we've all been trained in a lot of things. How many of you, by show of hands, have been trained in CPR? CPR, it's part of just doing going to work. For many of us, you had to go through your CPR training, right? But very few of us have actually had to use that training. It's the same, let's make it even simpler. How many of us were taught fire drills in school? Yes, all of us, if you went to school. My kids are homeschooled and we done had to, all right, here's what you do with the ladder thing, if the thing, and then we have stop, drop, and roll. We have all these things that we've been trained. You know, you were told knives are sharp. Don't play with knives. How many of us still got cut by a knife? There's something that happens. We've got training in preparation for it. It doesn't mean that when that thing happens, when we're in the moment, that training is automatically going to show up. Now, the goal has always been with training is to make it muscle memory. It becomes instinct. This is how you're supposed to respond in this case. We drill this as a parent, as a teacher, as someone in charge of other people. Hey, listen, when you hear my voice, listen to what I'm telling you. But man, in the moment, you ain't trying to hear all of that. You're focused on what it is that you're thinking about. And even the best of us, even the most trained, the most prepared, they lose sight of their training in the moment. There was a famous YouTube video that went viral some years ago of a woman. And she was the person in charge of showing the little children the alligator display. So you've got a group of kindergarten children filing into the nature center, about to see this enclosed animal, and the trainer was going to show them some things. She's opening the gate, she's petting the alligator, all this stuff, and it looks very, she's trained. She's got on the button. She is the person you go to when this is supposed to happen. And it's great, you know, kids are gonna get this experience, they're going to get to see a professional work with these animals. And something happens, she's touching this alligator, and with alligators in particular, the only reason I know this is I'm a Florida man. If your hand slips too far into the mouth of the alligator, its instincts are to snap. Now, you can touch the top of the head, you can touch underneath, you can do all kinds of stuff. It looks great. You can hold this jaws closed. If a finger, if a bead of sweat falls in the mouth of that gator and you have something in there, it's the gator's. And so she's got these little children around, she's got her hand on top. With all the training in the world, her hand slipped somehow. into the mouth of his alligator, and the gator did what it's supposed to do. And immediately it started to spin, which is what it's supposed to do, to get the food. It's in my mouth, I eat it. And now this lady is in the doggone enclosure in front of little children, getting spun round and round. Now, it's not a, any gator is big, but it's a little gator, and so she's in there doing her best she can. What does that mean? It's an ugly scene. But first lesson, don't play with alligators. Okay, can we all agree with that? Okay, but yes, don't play with alligators. The second one is this, it doesn't matter how much you've been trained, you always need to be careful. You always have to be careful because there are some things that can never be tamed. And one of those things that can never be tamed in the mouth, in the words of James, is our tongue. So many of us have gone to school. We've gotten class in communication. We've read five love languages. Some of y'all are multilingual. I know English and Ebonics. I know a little bit past that. Un poquito, you know, Espanol. Okay, I don't know a whole lot, but some of you can cut somebody out in multiple languages, in dialects. Some of you don't even have to use language. Some of us can use our eyes, eyebrows, to completely obliterate a human being. I love it because it's like, man, how is that possible? Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Now listen, I love it. Like Samuel Jackson, you know who Samuel Jackson is? The most famous actor in Hollywood. He's just got that look that we all saw from our black moms. That if they squint their eyes the right way from across the room, oh, it's over for me. Please, please snap me out of existence like Thanos did. I just want to be dusted out of earth. All they had to do was squint. No words, no motions, no anything. And our tongue, the way James says it, but also it's our words. It's our words. They are untamable, and they can be dangerous and powerful. So, I literally have one point. And the point is this. We've got some subpoints. We've got some different things. But I just want to remind you, in James's words, the tongue is powerful. And we need to use extreme caution. It's something that, even though it's a hard word, because it's like, man, we talk a lot nowadays. We use a lot of words. If you're on social media, there's more words being created every minute than for centuries on the earth. We've got video, we've got written, we've got audio, we've got more words just being multiplied on top of each other. And we need this word in particular. Do not rest on your laurels when it comes to your words. And this is what's setting the world on fire about so many Christians. I thought, because you were a person of faith, because you followed Jesus, I thought you would speak differently. And many of us, our faith has just become known as the one that is the most harsh, the most critical, the most judgmental. And so that's why James starts out in this passage. He says, the first thing, not many of you should be teachers. I'm gonna lower the bar. Don't even aspire. Now, back then, I imagine it's a little harder to build a platform. Back then, it would have been harder to get my voice heard. Now, all of us are teachers. All of us. Now, your resume, your job qualification may be affected. Your salary may be affected because HR can now scroll your entire social media feed and listen to all the things that you've been teaching. You've been sharing. So not many should be teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Oh, man, I wish they would have told us this when we were in college and getting Facebook accounts. We are in an era called what? Cancel culture. Where you can scroll. It don't matter that you might have changed. Doesn't matter you might be quoting your favorite lyric. Doesn't matter. Our words have been teaching on our behalf, and the world says now, we're going to judge you more strictly by your words. It was just a joke. Says who? It might have been a joke to you then, but now it's not a joke. Because you know that when we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect and able to keep their whole body in check. The tongue is powerful. It's just that powerful. That if you are able to master it, and James is going to give you, he ain't even going to give you a way out. No, but here's the way you master it. No, you can't tame it. Like that alligator that's been enclosed its entire life, its instincts are one that if something goes in my mouth, I don't care if it's the trainer in front of little kids or if it's a fish and I'm in the Everglades, I'm clamping down. And this is similar with the words that we speak. But hopefully, if you stick with me in this passage, I think I can help us navigate a little bit of a way forward. Now, the tongue is powerful. That's the first one. That's the first and most important point. The tongue is powerful. Do not sleep on it. It has directional power. Ms. Joan read the passage a second ago. It's just like putting a bit in the mouth of a horse, a massive animal, strong-willed, resilient, runs, does what it wants. But you put a bit in the mouth of a horse, it goes where you tell it to go. So it has directional power. You can wield it which way and that. He gives another example of how powerful it is. He says, man, it's like a ship. It's like a ship. Ship is massive, but all there is in the back is a little rudder under the water. You don't even see it. And it changes the direction of this massive piece of machinery. It can move it. It can guide it. In other words, don't underestimate how much your words can set the trajectory of your life. Our words can set the trajectory of our life. Proverbs 18, 20 and 21 says, from the fruit of a person's mouth is his stomach satisfied. Based on what you say, your stomach is filled. He is filled with the product of his lips. This is where we've heard this line. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So he's saying much of our life is impacted by the things that we have said. Now, this is great and scary because many of you said when you were children, I want to achieve this place in my life. And many of us are experiencing that fruit right now. That started with a thought. It started with action, little steps, but it came as you spoke it. What do you want to be? I want to attain. I want to go. And we did those things. But the negative is also true. We did not grow. We did not go. We did not do because we said we would not. So I don't believe that the Bible supports the idea of manifesting things. I think that's a quality that only God has. There's a doctrine called ex nihilo, that God creates out of nothing. I think that only God has that capacity to just speak something into existence, right? But your words will shape your world. They will give shape to it. They will give texture. It will create the lens that you view your life through because what you focus on is where you'll naturally go. A very easy example of that is this. If I want to teach my son to play baseball or basketball or throw a football, One of the things that we'll teach is this: place your feet in the direction you want the ball to go. And it's the same with our tongue. We'll say things that will then naturally lead us in a certain direction. The second thing that James gives us is this: that the tongue is dangerous. It's dangerous. So he's trying to make sure how serious, this is a very serious thing. And very serious, more serious than what I take it, obviously, when I'm sitting at an emergency exit. Everybody willing and able? Give me a verbal yes or no. Yes. Yes. Happy to do it. I'm your man. Open the door right up. In the right conditions. Namely, that we don't have to open the door. But for many of us, we've lost sight of how dangerous our words can be. James 3:5 goes on to say, consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is a world of unrighteousness. It's placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind, but no one can tame the tongue. And so the tongue, it's like a wildfire. And we've seen this before, that all it takes is a spark to set a wildfire. Y'all remember Smokey the Bear? Remember Smokey the Bear, and he's just telling you, many of us didn't even go camping. We knew Smokey. Smokey said, put out your fire if you go camping. All it takes is one small spark, but only you can prevent forest fires. And you go, nah, I can't prevent a blaze that big. Yes, you can. If you're watchful about the fire that has started, just that one spark from your tongue. And we've seen years and years and years and years of people's tongues doing incredible damage that came out of one small comment when you were at recess in third grade. Many of us are still living under the weight of someone's words that were said in a flippant moment that we can't now still shake. Y'all know I love me some hip-hop music, and I just love rap music and all this stuff, and I love the narratives and the stories behind these guys and how they create the music that they create and all of this. But it's interesting to me, there must be no nice teachers in the world. Because all of them have a teacher that said, you'll never amount to anything. I'm not doubting that may have happened. But doggone it, I remember in all my years, I didn't have one of those teachers that just, you're never going to amount to any. Now, did they give me a bad grade every once in a while? Yes. And maybe that was the story. But a lot of them have created a persona and a reaction towards maybe something that was said many years ago. Now, that's funny when it's a rapper, but for many of us, it was a mother, it was a father, it was a doctor, it was somebody, it was a little girl on a playground that we're still loving under that. And what we have to remember and why this is so dangerous is there's no such thing as meaningless words. One word can set off a firestorm of chaos, right? And what does that look like? What does that look like? There's all different ways we can use our tongue to cause damage. I'll give you a long list, okay, just so that we're all included. Okay? The list includes this: ridicule, lying, disdain, humiliation, undermining, taunting, being rude, critical, dramatic, harsh, sarcastic, tormenting, nitpicking, invalidating, gaslighting, downplaying, overtalking. Even the silent treatment is a way of removing our word of comfort, right? Silent treatment, demeaning, devaluing, gossiping, overcritical, remember snapping in victimization. And many of us have the scars of someone else's untamed tongue being unleashed on us. I can't tell you as a child, man, I remember, I don't know what it was back in the day. This is a different era. What happened to dogs from maybe the 80s and 90s to today? Where I grew up, dogs were never in the house. So we just all had dogs running around the neighborhood. This is how you learn how to get fast. If you ever want to know, like, how many Floridians, like, man, got a lot of athletes that come from Florida, it's because the dogs were outside and you had to learn how to run. You just had to figure it out. So, and here's what he says. It's like the bite marks of a dog. That's what our words are like. It's like the bite marks. The tongue can leave deep lacerations on the soul that'll never heal. Because words get way past the skin. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. What is it? He's saying the same things in different ways. The tongue is a world of unrighteousness, which means it has limitless destructive potential. The tongue stains. The tongue is dangerous. The tongue can set your life on fire. The tongue is poisonous. So it's a whole, and listen, I don't know who came up with it, but it's a lie. Sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt me. No. Hit me with a stick. Just don't talk to me the wrong way. And many of us have the playlist of the words that were said to us playing over and over again. We forgot where we got the scar. We've got scars on our knees, our elbows, our hands. We don't even remember where we got the scar from. But we remember that moment when a certain word was said over us. The tongue is a powerful tool because it's a double-edged sword. It can cut others, but it also reveals something about us. And so I shared a few weeks ago where we would say, well, as a kid, we would swear or cuss or whatever, and we'd say, oh, my bad, slipped. And no, what it is revealing what's on the inside of us. It's revealing something that was going on inside. It says something about our heart. So here's where I want to land the plane a little bit. I'm going to scratch the last point because the last point just doubled down on everything that we've already said. The tongue is untamable. But here's where I want to go because this word from James is very heavy. The tongue, the root of the words that come out of your mouth are your heart. And that's it. Matthew 12:33-37 says this. Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers. Now, this is Jesus talking. You brood of vipers. How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you, everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words, you will be acquitted, and by your words, you will be condemned. Now that's Jesus speaking. But he gives us a glimpse and where we can actually address something in our words. It starts in the heart. Many of the things that are overflowing out of us, and James said it at the very end of the in the middle of the chapter, those last few verses, what did he say? Good and bad can't come out of the same place. Salt water and fresh water, they can't come out of the same place. They're mixing up. So here's what happens. We have to remember that because we're in Christ, there is no longer any condemnation, and we are a new creation. So you're no longer a slave to sin. So listen, you can be renewed from where? The inside out, because Jesus says, I came to bring you a what? A new heart. But you're still reacting and responding as the person who heard those words initially. Many of our words that we are speaking in our relationship when we're under pressure, when we're at work and we immediately have a reaction, that typically isn't near this person here. That is the person in here who said, no, I'll never let anybody say these things about me again. And that's the person Jesus is saying, hey, you're loved, you're safe, you're secure. You don't have to respond like an alligator when a hand goes in its mouth. Because that's where our words are coming from. Our words are coming from our instincts of safety, protection, resilience, push back. But Jesus is saying, no, I've given you a new heart. No, when you're planted in righteousness, you don't have to use the same words and language as it's always been. What did James say? Some of us should be slow to anger, slow to speak. He's retraining our hearts and our minds. So many of us, that's why we shouldn't be in a hurry to become a teacher. That's why you shouldn't be in a hurry to be elevated, to build platforms. Why? So that God can do the work on the inside of us so that what comes out of us under pressure. I don't care about how you look when you're on vacation. You're supposed to have good things come out of you on vacation. You know, we've been on cruises before. It's like heaven. Everyone, white, black, rich, poor, everybody's together. Hey, man, where you from? Hey, how you doing? Man, this is great. Everybody having a drink, sitting by the pool. Yes, everybody should be very nice to each other when the sun is shining and everybody's happy. I want to see you under pressure because that's when I know, oh, this is the real you coming out. But that can be a new person too if we're willing to train and practice and go, Lord, can you heal the wounds that were spoken over me? Can you realize and remember that you live under a new story now? You're no longer a slave to those things that were said about you. And now let's write a new story moving forward. I'll confess something to you. This week has been hard. The weather is bad. I don't feel great. All these things. And then what happens? These narratives start to play in my mind. I've got playlists of things that I believe, that I struggle with, that I just go through. And many of you know these things. It wakes you up at night. It resists you, pushes you back from going to sleep at night. There's these things that you just think, you just believe. And people are like, why do you believe that? That's not true. But for you, it absolutely is. And I have to remember, no, Charlie. That's little Charlie struggling with some abandonment and some issues that you've had before, but you're okay. Jesus said he will never leave you or forsake you. So stop trying to live like he will leave you or forsake you. What does that do? Now that changes the words that will eventually come out of my mouth. So here's some final practices. I want to give you something that you can try this week. Pick one, okay? Pick one. Remember, you don't have to be perfect, but you must begin to practice. You don't have to be perfect. We'll never get this 100% correct. But you got to start to practice a little bit. The best athletes in the world, tonight we're going to see who's the better one in this Super Bowl, but many of them practice under pressure. They practice for the highly pressurized moment. Kobe would study so that when he was given the game-winning shot, he would hit it. Not when everything's cool and it's just going to be a basketball game between him and some kids. No. He's practicing under pressure. But you will never be perfect in this. James has already said it. So relieve that pressure from yourself. Man, I messed up. I said the wrong thing. Just confess and move forward, okay? But we can begin to practice. Talk like Jesus talked. Let Jesus become your vision of good speech. And that means a holistic vision of what speech looks like. Because some of us will go, okay, that means I can never say anything confrontational or direct or that will make people feel uncomfortable. Did you just hear what I just read a moment ago? I think he called them a whole bunch of snakes. So he's got a holistic picture of what it is to when to use the right words at the right time to get the message across, right? So there will be those moments of uncomfortability, but some of you have withheld words from people that they've never received justice for what they've done. And now it's the resentment is in you. Now you're saying things to yourself that are poisoning you. Rather than saying, hey, you brood of vipers, you have to change your behavior. And this is going to be the consequence. So talk like Jesus talked. But he also said, I love you. Come to me. Let's rest. Be honest with me. Speak to me. And many of you don't even talk to Jesus how he would talk to you. Be open. Be honest. Be vulnerable. Some of you need new language. Did you read the Psalms before? Have you ever read the Psalms? Crush the head of their babies. I hate them so much. Oh, man. Take that to your prayer time. Don't hold that in. Take it to Jesus in prayer. Right? So there's those things. The other one is Proverbs 21:23. Slow down your response time. The one who guards his mouth and tongue keeps himself out of trouble. Keeps himself out of trouble. Many of us have burned our lives up because we spoke too fast. Last thing I'll tell you is this. Practice silence sometimes. Just be quiet. We don't always have to have a response. We don't always have to, have a remark. We don't always have to be ready. I already know what they're going to say. We don't have to do that. Sometimes we can just remain silent. Just try. Let the Lord actually fight your battle sometimes. Maybe we can begin the process of taming a little bit our tongues so that we're not so tongue-tied. Amen? Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I am honored that I get an opportunity to share from your word once again, but also help us, Lord, in something that is so powerful, so large, that can have such a massive impact on our lives that it can cause a great bit of destruction. Some of us here have experienced the pain of a word spoken too quickly. We were the one that said it, or we experienced it. Many times, it's a bit of both. We're both the victim and victimizer of others by our words. We've been judgmental. Our foot has been in our mouth way too many times. But Lord, I pray that you would help us by your Spirit. You made us brand new. You've given us new hearts. You said if we drink from the living water, we'll never thirst. So Lord, continue to fill us with this new and living water. For many of you, you need to confess. Man, there were things I've said. Some of you, there are things you were saying to yourself that you're not worth it, nobody loves you, nobody cares about you. Confess those things to the Lord at a time of communion. Why? Because Jesus died for those very things. It's not true. I died because I love you so much. He died because he was willing to sacrifice himself because you were a delight in his eyes. For the joy set before him, he suffered the cross. You were the joy. So many of us need to confess as we go to communion this morning. But also many of us need to celebrate the fact that we have been made new. That those words that were spoken over us as a child, as an adult, by a manager, by a teacher, by a professor, by a person on the street, by a stranger, those words do not curse me, limit me, demean me. Nope, I am a delight in the Father's eyes. So Lord, as we come to communion, as we go into a time of prayer, maybe you need a time of prayer with someone, I encourage you, confess those things, admit those things, share those things, but then live under the bright light of a loving and kind God who says, I love you, I died for you, I created you in my image. Now go forward as someone who looks like me, filled with my spirit, and let me help you to speak like me, speaking life, truth, and love over others. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.